This podcast is a ministry of New Song Christian Fellowship in Louisville, Kentucky. We are led by our senior pastors, Jeff and Tracy Lamont. Today's message is titled, Jesus is the Healer, and was offered by Pastor Jeff Lamont. It was recorded on August 25th, 2019. It's our prayer that God will use it to begin and reveal something new in you. God bless.
All right, everybody say with me, Jesus is the healer. Yes, that's going to be our focus, our emphasis this morning. Over the last several weeks, focusing on just one attribute of the Lord Jesus Christ, our precious Savior who revealed himself to us, revealed God's heart to us through his life and ministry on the face of this earth. We've talked about Jesus being the shepherd. We've talked about Jesus being the builder. We've talked about Jesus as a human. We've talked about Jesus as a teacher. And today I want to focus on the fact that he's our healer. In fact, I want to do something that I don't normally do, and that is just I want you to engage your faith this morning. Because I believe at the end of our time today, God wants to reveal himself personally as a healer to several of you in the room today. In fact, I've been praying for you, and I've been praying that the healing power of the Lord would just be released in a beautiful and just a really wonderful way here today. But you need to engage your faith and just say, okay, God, I'm going to believe you today. So if Jesus is our healer, or let me use another synonym that Scripture uses, the great physician. If he's our healer or our physician, what does that really mean? And here's what I've said, and this has been the premise of our whole series, is that if you just get to know Jesus a little bit better through these weeks as we're focusing on different facets of his character, his nature, his ministry, here's what I believe. You will absolutely fall in love with him more and more. Because I believe there's an old saying that says, to know him is to love him. And I believe that about Jesus. The more you know him, the more you are absolutely going to love him. Because he loves you and he lived his life on this earth to show us the way to God and to provide for us. So what's it mean to be a physician or a healer? Well, let me just start by saying this. It means one who's skilled in the art of physical healing. That's what a physician means, or a healer, one who's skilled in the art of physical healing. Now, it doesn't really take us by surprise this morning that Jesus would be gifted in physical healing, because quite honestly, he created this human body. He created you and I. He's a part of that whole creation process with the Father and the Holy Spirit. He made us. And by the way, the Bible says that he made us body, soul, and spirit, right? Just like there's a Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You and I have a body, we have a soul, and we have a spirit. That's what the Bible teaches us. Now, let me ask you a question this morning. Do you believe, how many of you believe in the house here this morning that Jesus is concerned about your soul? How many of you believe he's concerned about your soul? In fact, most of us in the house would say, I'm so thankful he paid the price for my sin and paved a way for my salvation so that my soul could be saved. How many of you believe he's concerned about your spirit? So when you come to know him, when you come into an intimate, real relationship with God, your spirit becomes alive and you are united with God's spirit. There's something wonderful that happens there. It's this transformation that Jesus talks about when he's talking with Nicodemus and talking about being born again. Now, let me just be a little sarcastic here this morning. Forgive me for my sarcasm. But isn't it sad? Because this is what a lot of people believe, quite honestly. And isn't it sad, if you do believe this, that a lot of us think that Jesus only cares about two-thirds of us? That he only really cares about your soul and your spirit, but he kind of just leaves your body to struggle and to oftentimes be afflicted. And he doesn't really care anymore about bringing healing to your physical body. Now, I don't believe that's true, and I don't believe that's what Scripture teaches. In fact, I believe when we say something like, you know, I want to be like Jesus, so many times what we do is we separate out his teaching But we don't think about his action, his demonstration. And I think to be like Jesus, and it says this in our mission statement as a church, that we're about reaching neighbors, nations, and generations with the good news of Jesus Christ's love and power. I don't think you can separate the power part of Jesus' life and ministry. In fact, when he's raising up disciples, every time he does, he endues them with power from on high. He sends them out to heal and to proclaim the kingdom of God. If you read the New Testament, I don't think there's any way you can logically, intelligently separate that out from the ministry and the life of Jesus. He cares about our spirit, our soul, and our body. But let me just say this three ways. God heals three ways. First of all is naturally. God designed your body to heal naturally. How many of you have noticed that? In fact, every one of you here, you have been blessed by God's natural healing process many, many times over. Many times over. Your blood cells, there's these wonderful little things inside you called red blood cells. And when infection tries to find a place in your body, those little red blood cells, man, they go to work. You don't even know it. You're asleep. You're cuddled up under those covers and you've taken some ibuprofen and you've had some chicken noodle soup and you're letting God's natural healing process take place. Your immune system is at work and it fights off and kills that virus and it restores you back to health. Now it's interesting, you know. If God had not designed your body to heal itself, let me just tell you what would have happened to you. The first time that you had a bad cut, how many of you ever had a bad cut? First time you ever had a bad cut and began to bleed, you would have bled to death. But Jesus, the Father, the Holy Spirit, your Creator, he made your body in such a way that your blood naturally clots so that you don't bleed to death. There's many, many times, even when you've not recognized it, even when you've not thanked him, that he was naturally healing your body. I don't know about you, but I am thankful for that. Secondly, he heals medically. And I am absolutely thankful for the medical community, for my doctor, for everyone out there, nurses and practitioners and doctors who are called of God, I believe, to be a part of the healing arts, to be a part of the healing process. How many of you have ever been to a doctor? Well, good for you. Keep going. How many of you ever had stitches? Anybody ever had stitches? How about a broken bone? Anybody ever had a broken bone? Anybody ever had minor surgery? Major surgery? Cosmetic surgery? No, you don't have to answer that one. We're just a messed up group, aren't we? You guys have had a lot of stuff, I'm telling you. You guys have been to the doctor. I understand that. So have I. I got a great doctor. I love him a lot. He's a good brother in Christ. But I'm thankful that God brings healing through medicine. He gave the wisdom and the knowledge that we would study the human body and understand it more in its fullness and find ways to encourage and be catalytic in healing. And that's a good thing, and I'm thankful for that. And I encourage you to go to the doctor when you need to go to the doctor. But this morning, I want to remind you that God also heals miraculously. And sometimes in our sophisticated day and age, we start to lose sight of that. And we start to even not depend on that at all, not even seek God about that at all, but he still heals miraculously. I just heard a podcast just this past week, and it touched me deeply about a church, a very seeker-sensitive church. A very seeker-sensitive church. Everything they do, they absolutely try not to offend anybody. They try to make it as comfortable and welcoming a place as possible. Costal stuff. They never really encourage the praying over people for healing. And a young man came, and God had been doing something in his heart and his life, and they happened to invite him, and he'd never even spoken to a large crowd before, and he just began to share with the church. Was invited to share by the pastor, and he just began to talk about healing and how God had done some miraculous things in and through his life. And this church that absolutely gets out in 1 hour and 10 minutes. Everything is absolutely coordinated. 1 hour and 10 minutes, perfectly down to the second. All of a sudden, thousands of people began to come and began to get prayed for. And God began to heal people in miraculous ways. And this church was so skeptical about it that they didn't know what to do with it. And secondly, they weren't even going to accept it unless it was verified by a medical doctor. So now, this church has had over 200 medically verified miracles of God healing people. And it's amazing what the Lord's doing. And you know what? They didn't fall into the trend that so many churches in America fall into. Let's have a revival every night and let's start promoting this. No, they've been very cautious. Okay, God, what are you doing? And the Lord's just been pouring out. Nothing like this has ever happened here before. We don't even know what to do. And the Lord's just been pouring out his healing power and some incredible, incredible stories. And one of the cool things is the people are coming back and testifying to it. They're giving God the glory for it. People who've never even knew that the Lord cared about them physically are now all of a sudden. And the funny thing, and this is the thing that I think is so cool out of it, is that there's a number of testimonies where people are going, you know what? God's gotten my attention through this, and now I see that he wants to do deeper things in my heart. It wasn't just about him healing my physical body. He wanted to get my attention, and he wanted to work on some character issues. He wanted me to become more Christ-like. He wanted me to become more of a witness for him. He wanted me to go deeper in my walk with him. Isn't that interesting? Jesus is the healer, folks. Mark chapter 1, verse 40, it says this, "Now a leper came to Jesus, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, 'If you are willing, you can make me clean.' Then Jesus, moved with compassion," everybody say those three words with me, "moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, 'I am willing, be cleansed.' As soon as he'd spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed." I want you to remember those three words in that passage this morning, moved with compassion. The word compassion comes from a Latin word. It literally means to suffer alongside or to suffer with. When Jesus saw people who were in need of healing, who were sick and infirmed, there was something in his heart that stirred him. He loves. You know why Jesus heals? Let me just put it this way to you this morning, and I want you to get it. Why does Jesus heal? Because he loves people. Because he loves people. I know you're going, well, that's not very deep, Pastor Jeff. It's the truth. He loves people. When he saw people who were sick and infirmed, he was moved with compassion. His heart was touched. His heart went out to them. Now, this passage, I'm touched by this passage in a lot of ways. By the way, there's a teaching that, quite honestly, I think is a little only about him proving he was the Messiah. I think it's part and parcel of that. But I think the real reality is he loved people. I don't think it was just he was trying to prove a point. I think it was his true heart for people that was being expressed. There's a lot of resistance on this topic, folks. I understand that. I've been doing this for a long time. I can feel it when you start talking about healing, because there are people who've been disappointed. There are people who've been disillusioned. There are people who were praying for and something didn't happen the way they hoped it would. Someone once said, he either makes you well or he makes you perfect. I remember sitting at the foot of the bed of a dear friend of mine, and we'd prayed and fasted and believed for her healing, and for some reason it didn't come on this side of the equation, but the Lord made her perfect. In other words, she went to heaven and all sickness was removed. Let me just say three things about Jesus, kind of some subpoints for you to think about this morning. Why is Jesus a healer? Why is he a healer? First of all, I want you to think about this. Let me just tell you three things he's not. First of all, Jesus is not a sensationalist. He's not a sensationalist. Now, there's a big word for you, but basically what I mean by that is he didn't do what he did to put on a show. We in American society, we're all about the show. We're all about the crowd. We're all about, you know, the magazine cover. We're all about the TV show. We're all about the publicity. Jesus didn't do it that way. In fact, Jesus oftentimes, after he healed somebody, touched somebody, he would say to them, "Don't tell anybody. I don't want you to tell anybody. My time hasn't come yet. Now's not the right time. Just keep it to yourself." And sometimes they could, and sometimes they couldn't. But it wasn't about just drawing crowds. It wasn't about creating some kind of sensational thing. A lot of healing ministries today tend to make a show of God's power and God's goodness. And therefore, because of that, a lot of us have been turned off by this subject and have kind of ruled it out as if it even doesn't even exist anymore. We are often guilty of throwing the baby out with the bathwater, and that's wrong and that's sad. Jesus was not a sensationalist. That's never what he did. Secondly, he was not a confessionalist. A confessionalist. What do you mean by that, Pastor? Well, I believe in speaking God's word. I believe there's power in speaking God's word. I believe we ought to be memorizing God's word. I believe we ought to be hiding it in our heart. I believe we ought to be speaking it out, just like Jesus did when the enemy came and tempted him. He spoke the word of God. There's power in God's word. But there's been, over the past 50 years, what we would call a hyper-faith movement. And then there was a hyper-prosperity movement. And there's even been now a hyper-grace movement. Pretty much any major theme in the Bible, there's been a hyper of it. And what that means basically is that we've taken a teaching that may have had some biblical founding, but we've blown it up to the place that we've got it out of balance. We've gone way too far with it. We're acting crazy with it. Whether it's healing or prosperity or grace even. It's out of balance. This hyper faith movement, and some of you are familiar with it, and some of you don't want anywhere near it, and I don't blame you, will essentially tell you to deny the facts. Deny the facts rather than state the truth. One guy said, "My nose is not running." Had a horrible, horrible cold. Guy he was talking to said, "Yeah, your nose is running." He said, "No, my nose is not running." "Yes, your nose is running, pal. You need to go get some Kleenex. Clean that mess up." "My nose is not running." He's denying the facts. It became absurd. I have friends who had they were a part of a hyper faith church, and they took a youth group on a ski trip, and a young man on the trip had a very serious bad accident, and the leaders literally would not call for medical help because they were so convinced that they just needed to speak the words of faith over him, and he died on the trip. Sometimes when anything gets hyper, folks, it gets way out of balance. How many of you hear what I'm saying? Jesus is not a confessionalist. Faith in God is not denying the facts. It's stating the truth. It's inviting Jesus into the midst of your pain, your problems, your sickness, your illness, your difficulty, whatever it may be. Third, Jesus is not a dispensationalist. And what I mean by that is simply that he didn't confine himself to only healing people for 3.5 years. Some of us try to do that theologically. It's called cessationism. We want to just package it up nice and neat because we don't understand sometimes why God heals some and doesn't heal others. We don't understand some of the complexities and the difficulties. But Hebrews 13:8 says this: Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I love the Gospel of John. And when I was in seminary, I had a really well-known teacher on the Gospel of John, and I really enjoyed the class. And one of the things the Gospel of John includes is the I am statements. How many of you love those I am statements? All throughout the Gospel of John, Jesus is saying these powerful I ams, following, you know, God in the Old Testament, "I am that I am." tells Moses to tell Pharaoh, I am that I am. And Jesus says, I am the door. I'm the good shepherd. I'm the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. How many of you believe today that Jesus is still the door? How many of you believe he's still the good shepherd? How many believe he is the way, the truth, and the life, just like he said he was? Well, let me just tell you about healing. It goes all the way back to the book of Exodus. And I am said this to the children of Israel. I am the God who heals you. That's why Jesus walked in that powerful ministry of healing. Everywhere Jesus went, when you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you study it in depth, every time he's around a sick person, he heals them. I can't find in studying the New Testament any particular incident where there was a sick person that Jesus walked away and said, nope, not for you. No. I'm going to here, but I'm going to leave him out. 4 verse 23. Let me show you some scriptures about Jesus and his healing ministry. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Then his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics, and paralytics, and he healed them. Matthew chapter 8, verse 16 and 17. When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word, and he healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. We read it this morning, Isaiah 53, saying, he himself took our sickness and he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Scripture says he bore our sins and he bore our sickness. We have the faith to trust him to bear our sins. Do we trust him to bear our sickness? Interesting question. Matthew 14, 14, and when Jesus went out and saw a great multitude, he was moved with compassion for them and he healed their sick. Jesus, same yesterday, today, and forever. Luke 4, 40, when the sun was setting, all those who had any that were sick with various diseases brought them to him and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. Over and over and over again throughout the Gospels, Jesus is all about healing people. Luke chapter 6, and he came down with them and stood on a level place with a crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon who came to hear him and be healed of their diseases as well as those who were tormented with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for power went out from him and he healed them all. By the way, if you look that word up in Greek, you know what it means? All. Let me just ask you the question. You human being, if you had divine power to heal people, how many would you heal? I bet you wouldn't be so picky and choosy. I bet you'd be moved with compassion too. He healed all who came to him. And he healed some who didn't. Read the Gospels. There's some people, he went to them. The woman who was bent over in the temple, he goes to her. The man with the withered hand, he goes to him. The blind man at the gate, he calls him over. In Mark chapter 1, that passage we read first of all this morning about the leper. Leper has something really interesting to ask Jesus in this encounter with him. He says, if you are willing, Lord, if you are willing, then I can be cleansed. It's interesting because I doubt there's many of us here this morning who doubt God's ability to heal. What we doubt is his willingness to do it. And by the way, the word willing comes from the word will. Pretty important word theologically. A lot of times we talk about, I know I pray often about, God, I want your will in my life. Your perfect will. Your good, perfect, and acceptable will. I want to lay my life before you as a living sacrifice that I might prove what is your good, perfect, and acceptable will. Is it your will, Lord? Is it your will? It's the second question I want to answer this morning. Is it God's will to heal? Is it his will to heal? Mark 1:41, then Jesus moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing. Be cleansed. I am willing. There's never an encounter where a sick person comes to Jesus and he goes, not willing. Not you. Sorry. This guy, yes, but not you. I am willing. In other words, my will is to heal. I am who I am. I am, I was, I will be. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. Listen, when we talk about the word will, and we use that, we talk about that. Lord, not my will, but your will be done. The word will is really synonymous with a synonym of the word desire. What's God's desire? 2 Peter 3:9 says this. It says, the Lord's not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing, will equals desire, that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Will equals desire. This is where we miss it a lot of times. The Lord desires or wills that all be saved. But are all going to be saved? No. There's a choice involved in the matter, isn't there? There's a choice involved. The Lord desires to be healed, but are all going to be healed? No. There's a choice in the matter. Well, Pastor, then why aren't more people healed? If it's God's will, if it's his desire. Well, let me say, first of all, a lot of people are healed and you never hear about it. A lot of people are healed and you never hear about it. If you were to travel internationally, you were to go specifically to third world countries, you were to visit churches in third world countries, you would absolutely hear story after story after story of people who were healed. And I'm not talking about made up, fictitious, you know, embellished stories. I'm talking about real life stories. A good friend of mine went a few years ago to the nation of Iran. He didn't even know what he was getting into. And I'm sorry, he went to Turkey and a bunch of Iranian believers came over and he had the opportunity to teach them and minister to them for a week. And he sat down literally and took copious notes on how every single one of these Iranians had come to know Christ. Every one of them. There were over 30 of them. He sat and chronicled their stories. Every one of them involved a miracle. Every single one involved a miracle. A lot more people are healed than you realize. Second, we live in a fallen world where sin has affected everything. Absolutely, yes. There's brokenness in this world. Third, we've become so sophisticated and so educated that oftentimes we don't even believe God to be healed any longer. We don't even believe God is in that business any longer. And we just totally discount it because we have access to the best healthcare in the world. In third world countries, amazing healings are happening because they have no other alternative. I've seen it again and again and again. This year in Nicaragua, we had some healings that happened in our medical clinic, not through the medical process, but through prayer, where God intervened. Yes, we had some through the medical process too, and we thank the Lord for that. And again, please hear me. I'm never, ever saying, don't go to the doctor. No, in fact, if you get prayed for today and you sense a healing in your body, let the doctor verify it. There's nothing wrong with that. I would strongly encourage that. This guy in Mark 1 was a leper. He lived in a leper colony. By the way, I may be one of the only ones here in the room today, but I've been to a leper colony more than once. Some of you didn't even know leper colonies still existed. Yes, they do, in different parts of the world. And I've been to a leper colony in Nicaragua about 3 times. I'll never forget pulling up the first time, I believe it was, with a big bus full of people, and half of them wouldn't even get out of the bus. They were so scared. We went through this leper colony, and we prayed for people, and we ministered to people. It was precious. In Jesus' day and time, people who lived in a leper colony, they were segregated from the rest of society. They had to cry out literally, unclean, unclean, when they would come around anyone who wasn't from the leper colony. Jesus takes a huge chance here. This leper comes to him and he says, if you're willing, Lord, you can make me clean. Jesus touched him, scripture says. That word can be translated, he embraced him. I believe maybe he even went so far as to hug this man who'd been so isolated from community. Can you imagine living 30, 40, 50 years with no one touching you? No one wanting to be close to you? People running away from you, absolutely isolated? And Jesus embraces him and says, I am willing, be cleansed. Listen, in the Old Testament, there was a principle. You see it in the teachings and the laws of the Old Testament that the unclean would make the clean unclean. So stay away. But in the New Testament, Jesus turns that absolutely on its head. The clean makes the unclean clean. In other words, the clean in Jesus is stronger than the unclean in you or in me. Third question, and I guess this is the one that it really comes down to, is he willing to heal me? Is he willing to heal me? Jesus says, I am willing, and Jesus doesn't change. In his ministry, hundreds were healed. The real question, and what the leper is asking here, what we are asking, are you willing to heal me, Lord? Or let me go a little bit further with that. Are you willing to heal someone like me? Somebody who doesn't read his Bible every day and pray every day. Someone who isn't perfect. Someone who still loses his temper from time to time. Someone who still has a bit of a challenge with lust. Somebody who still gets envious or greedy at times. Somebody who gossips at times. Are you willing to heal somebody like me who still struggles with sin? Can I just remind you this morning that grace is for the undeserving, not the deserving. You haven't earned anything yet from God, and you never will. It's a gift from him because of his love for you. So this whole idea, am I good enough? Can I just say to you this morning, no, you're not. But you're bad enough, if you want to put it that way. You're broken enough. You're sin-scarred enough. And he's moved with compassion about you. You don't earn it. It's his grace, his unmerited favor that's poured out on you. Mark 2, let's finish with this today. When the scribes and Pharisees saw him eating with the tax collectors and sinners. By the way, interesting combination there, tax collectors and sinners. But anyway, they said to his disciples, how is it that he eats and drinks with tax collectors and sinners? When Jesus heard it, he said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. How do you get healed? The same way you get saved. By grace through faith. By grace through faith. You know, if you study every single one of the healing passages in the Gospels, there's a common thread in every healing story. And I know what some of you are probably thinking, and some of you are probably conditioned to think, well, they all had faith. No, they didn't. No, they didn't. Some of them even confessed their unbelief, right? But there is a common thread. You know what it is? They were all sick. And they all needed healing. That's the common thread. So how many of you are in need of healing today? I've been praying about this and just trusting the Lord for this time together today. I'm going to ask the ministry team and the worship team to come back up. We literally made sure that we have, you know what that is? That's a vial of oil. The Bible talks about anointing people who are sick with oil. And the prayer of faith will heal them. The Bible says, let the elders of the church anoint them with oil. There's so many things in the Bible that I don't know, we don't even practice or believe in or allow the Lord to do anymore. I'm going to ask you to let your faith rise this morning. There's some of you that absolutely need healing today. Let me just ask a few questions here this morning, because I've been praying for you and just asking the Lord what he wants to do. How many of you this morning, you are suffering with some kind of knee pain, hip pain, or back pain? Would you stand quickly? You've got some joint issues that are going on. How many of you this morning, you have some food allergy issues, gluten and intolerance, that kind of thing? Would you stand? How many of you this morning, this is a different one, but you've been really having trouble sleeping? You just can't quite get to sleep at night, not the way you need to, not so that you'll be refreshed. How many of you, there's something else, you're trusting the Lord for a healing? Go ahead and stand. All right, let's all stand together now. We're going to sing, and I'm just going to invite you to come, and these folks are going to pray in Jesus' name over you today. Would you trust the Lord for healing today? Just trust him for healing. Let your faith rise to my body. That Jesus loves you and wants to touch you and wants to heal you today. I'm trusting him for some things in my body today. Let's pray. Would you just bow your heads, close your eyes for a minute? Lord, I thank you right now that you care about us. You paid the price for our sins. And Lord, right now, if there's somebody here in this room that hasn't trusted you to bear their sins, you paid the price for their sins. You love them so much, you do not want them to go one more day without knowing you personally as Lord and Savior of their lives. If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as Savior of your life, I want to give you that chance right now. You just pray with me where you're standing and say, "Dear God, I need you. Please forgive me of my sin. Please come into my heart and life and make me a new creation in Christ and teach me how to live for you from this day forward." If that's you, I want you to let somebody know about that this morning. Let an usher or one of us pastors know. We want to walk with you and help you in your newfound walk with God. The rest of us, with every head still bowed, every eye still closed, if you're here today and you're suffering from any kind of pain, any kind of illness, any kind of something that's limiting you, that's holding you back, I don't know what it might be. The Lord showed me a few things to call out, but there may be other things that he wants to touch and heal this morning. He's the healer. He knows how to heal them all. He created you and made you. You just come right now this morning and let somebody pray for you. Let them anoint you with oil and let them pray the prayer of faith over you. And I want you to do one thing. Come back and give him the glory. Come back and give him the glory. There's a story of 10 lepers that were healed and only one returned and thanked the Lord for what he had done. Don't be like the other 9. You come back. You give God the glory. Let the Lord touch you this morning. Let the Lord bring healing into whatever it is. And by the way, he heals us body, soul, and spirit. Some of you, you have been affected by trauma and it has affected you greatly. It's some traumatic things from your past. The Lord wants to bring healing to that today. Some of you, you have been wounded by relationships close to you, very close to you. There was betrayal, there was hurt, there were wounds. The Lord wants to heal that. Whatever it is today that you're carrying, the Lord is for you. He wants to heal, love, and care. He wants to touch you. He wants to show you in a very personal way his love and care for you. Come and trust him. Cry out to him. Let him touch you today. He's saying to you, "I am willing. If you will come, I'm willing." Trust him and let him do what he wants to do in you today. Thank you, Lord, for your healing power in Jesus' name. In Jesus' strong name. You are the healer, Lord Jesus. We proclaim it over this house today and over this people today. Lord, release your healing power. In Jesus' strong name, release your healing power. Let it flow, Lord. Let it flow. Lord, those joint problems, let them absolutely be touched this morning. Let there be no pain. Lord, those backs that have been hurting from disc injuries, Lord, bring healing and restoration. Lord, those who've suffered with food allergies and some extreme things from those allergies, Lord, bring healing to them today. And Lord, confirm your healing. Confirm your healing through medical science. We trust you, Lord. We ask you, God, to intervene, to touch us today. We're your children. We're your sheep. You're our shepherd. You're our healer, our great physician. By your stripes, we are healed. We thank you for your healing power today. In Jesus' strong name. Hallelujah.